Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to preach this morning some basic truth. I trust it'll be a blessing to everyone here. You might want to get a pen and a pencil or either of the two and mark some of these things down. It'll help you because if you ever doubt your salvation, if you ever doubt that you're born again, you're dead in the water and the devil has you right where he wants you. And I'm going to preach out of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Some struggle with eternal life, with eternal security, which is eternal life. You say, can a Christian, can a born-again Christian, can a New Testament Christian lose, that is saved, lose his or her salvation? If they are saved, no. Nowhere in the Word of God does it teach you can lose your salvation. If you have to work to keep your salvation, it's not of grace. That's what the Scripture says. It's of works. Can a born-again person, can a born person be unborn? No, not if they are born. If you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, understand this, you are secure in Christ. I'm going to try to drive that home here this morning. John is saying, listen, I know. John's saying, I know. I've seen it. I've heard it. I've touched him. I know. That's what he's saying in these first three verses. I know, like the Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Verse 4 says in chapter 1, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Two things before I get to the 10. The reason this letter was written, number one, is that their joy might be full. So they would know that they have fellowship with God. Number two, 1 John, same book, chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you, that ye might know that ye have eternal life. He said two things here. These are absolutes. This is rock solid. This is Bible doctrine. This is the Word of God. You can know you're born again and going to heaven. It's a no-so salvation. He says it, chapter 5, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that you might know that you have eternal life and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. He's saying, come to Jesus. He is salvation. You can know you're born again. Number two, you can know, he said, I want you to know this, that these truths, this truth concerning fellowship after being born again so that your joy might be full. I can think of nothing more unstable than believing you could lose your salvation because of something you've done. If that's the case, who is saved? Who is going to heaven? Look what John says here. He lays it right out. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No confusion. The Bible says that Satan, the devil, is the author of confusion. You don't have to wonder whether or not you're going to heaven or not. Jesus did all the work on the cross. He provided redemption. He is our great redeemer. If you could work your way to heaven, we wouldn't need a redeemer. We wouldn't need a savior. If man could get there by his own good works, the Son of God wouldn't have to come down to this earth. All of that Old Testament law, all of the Old Testament ceremonial law, it wouldn't have to have been observed even because we'll just work our way to heaven. The audacity of thinking you can work your way to heaven. That's amazing to me that there's a man anywhere on this planet that thinks he's good enough for God. It isn't going to happen. No matter what color clothing he wears or what kind of hat he wears, it doesn't matter. He says here in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. He's using the word we here. John is including himself. He said, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. We're calling God a liar. There would never have had to have been a redeemer. If the devil can get you to doubt your salvation, the first time you fail God, if he whispers in your ear, see there, you're really not born again. You're really not saved. Look at you went and did that, and you even planned it ahead of time. This is exactly what John is dealing with. People that are saved, they know they are saved, and they fall out of fellowship with God. You can break your fellowship with God the Father just like you can with an earthly father or an earthly mother where you do them wrong and you kind of turn your back on them. You can do that. You can have broken fellowship, and you're in a cloud of doubt and darkness and desensitized, just like we talked about in Sunday school this morning. But you still are your father's son. You still are your father's daughter. You're still born again. This is what he's saying. If anybody says they no longer sin, they have no sin. They're a liar. And if the devil can get you to doubt, you're dead in the water as far as serving God. Verse 8 again. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's talking to born-again Christians, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Salvation is of grace. Salvation is because of the mercy of God. It isn't of any good works that I could ever do to somehow gain merit, gain favor with God. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses, think about that, are as filthy rags. There's no way I'm good enough to go to God's perfect heaven. The Savior had to come. And he said, if we say we have no sin, we're a liar. We make God a liar. Quit being pious about that. We all sin. But confess your sins. As children of God, after you do get born again, confess your sins so that you can have fellowship with God. Then he says, we have an advocate. Look at chapter 2. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, because we're going to, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And this advocate, he is the one reason I know I'm going to heaven. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So there's one reason that I know I'm going to heaven, I know I am saved, and that's Jesus Christ. I've received him. I've accepted him as the love gift of Calvary. I've taken him. I repented of my sin, said, God, I sure need you. I need a Savior. And there was a point in my life where I prayed and asked Jesus to come into my heart. He saved me. And he saved me all the way. There's no partway salvation. Jesus referred to that as being born a second time, anew from above. Born again. Not turning over a new leaf, but born again. The Spirit of God quickened me and made me alive and baptized me spiritually into the family of God and sealed me. And I've got the fingerprint. I belong to God when I got born again. If you're here and you're born again, there was a time you got saved, you belong to God. Now in the pilgrimage of life, it's a battle. It's a war. You've heard me say this 1,000 times. Sometimes it's uphill every day. Every step is effort. Sometimes, and because I still am a sinner, saved by grace, but I understand I'm a sinner and I'm a wretch. And I fall so far short of the glory of God. And the only way I can get anything done for God is by way of the Holy Spirit of God working through me. But still, I still battle with that old, fallen, Adamic nature. It's still here. And if we sin, if we confess our sins, we have that advocate. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Let me read 2 more verses. Verse 2, and he is the propitiation of our sins. I don't mean 2 more verses before I'm done. So I don't want you to get your hopes up, right? 2 more verses before I get to these 10 things, which I'll spend about 2 minutes on each one of them. It'll be that quick. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walks. Number 1, first of all, just write it down. I know I'm born again. Here's an evidence. It's in my life every day. I thirst for God. I thirst for righteousness. That doesn't mean I attain, but I root for righteousness every time. I have nothing in me that desires evil to win in this world or unrighteousness to prevail in the life of a brother or sister in the Lord. I thirst for righteousness. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they that thirst after righteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I take no pleasure in evil. There's a definite evidence, and it's from the heart. I really do desire God. That never used to be that way. I thirst for righteousness, number one. Number two, chapter 1 and verse 10, I am miserable when I sin. Look at chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6. Hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. I can take you multiple places in the book of 1 John all by itself and tell you that a born-again child of God is miserable when they get away from God. They find excuses. They blame other people. They try to pull other people down to their level in order to condone their own unrighteousness. Somebody that says, oh, I'm a Christian, but I'm backslidden, ha, ha, ha. That don't cut it, man. Something isn't ringing true in that heart. Because when you're a born-again child of God, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And when the Holy Spirit lives within you and you commit sin, and we all do, there's conflict. You're miserable on the inside. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. A born-again child of God, another evidence number three. Number one, thirst for God. Number two, when I do sin, I'm miserable. Man, I want to get back to God. Number three, this world is not enough. It'll never do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Drinking from the wells of this world will not satisfy. The music rings hollow. Drugs and booze and immorality is just temporary and it does not satisfy. Once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, once you know what it is to be close to God, once you're born again, a born again child of God, everything the world offers is artificial. It's temporary and it fades away. You can drink till you get to the bottom of the bottle, no satisfaction there. You can pop all the drugs, you can smoke the weed, you can live in immorality and run to the world and be somebody just totally immoral and think you've got a license to sin. But you know what? It never satisfies. Never, ever, ever will to the child of God. Once they've tasted of the good God of heaven, once they know how good God is, you're always remembering, like the prodigal son, always remembering what it was like back in his father's home, eating corn husks with the pigs. A Jew boy eating pig slop and remembering what it was like in his father's house. The corn husks and the pig slop of this world will never satisfy. That's why there's a lot of people so miserable, because they are born again and they're eating at the trough with the pigs and they're mad at the whole world. They're mad at every child of God, every preacher that stands up and preaches the word of God, because they're so unsatisfied. There's nothing satisfying there for them. Evidence of truly being born again, the world is never going to be enough. Another evidence, chapter 2 and verses 20 and verse 27. This is good. This is real good. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. If you have never experienced this, man, I would wonder whether or not I was born again. Now, if you've never experienced it because you don't read your Bible, that's your fault. But if you're a born again child of God, no matter how young you are in the Lord, you might be somebody that got saved last week. And you're born into the family of God, so you are what we refer to as, lovingly, a babe in Christ. We've all been there. And you grow in grace. But if you'll open your Bible and you'll start to read the scriptures, the light will turn on. Man, you won't be in the dark anymore. Look at verse 20. But ye have an unction, I love that word, from the Holy One, and you know all things. Look at verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. How many times? Oh man, I can't even count it. Of course, I know I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to be studying all the time. I'll be in my easy chair in my living room, or at the dining room table, or here in my study, or somewhere else, maybe right here at the altar, and I'm reading my Bible, and it's like God turns on the light, and it's like, boom, I never saw that before. That is deep. That is rich. Oh God, that is so together with the rest of the scripture. God, you're such a good God. That's when the Holy Spirit is teaching you. You say, preacher, I don't know if I've ever experienced that. Do you study your Bible? Maybe you need to turn off all the electronics and study your Bible. And let the Holy Spirit start to teach you again. You want an evidence that you're born again? Again, this doesn't get you saved, but it's an evidence that you're already born again. The Holy Spirit is your teacher. He uses Holy Writ. He uses the completed, the absolute, verbally inspired Word of God, and He teaches you. Man, it's amazing. It is. That is one of the most, to me, that's the biggest thing. It is so amazing to have that unction, to have that anointing. You say, well, I'm not very smart. You don't have to be smart. God's going to give you exactly what you need. Study the Scripture. Evidences of salvation. Evidences that you're really born again. You ever doubt your salvation? Man, you just need to have faith and trust in Christ, I'm telling you. But evidence, you thirst for God. You're miserable when you sin. Man, that's me, preacher. The world is not enough. Man, I'm finding that out to be true. Never going to be enough. You'll never make enough money. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Not right now, but go there. Study that. You'll never make enough money. You'll never have enough material riches. You'll never have enough things. The world's not enough. The Holy Spirit is my teacher. Look at chapter 3 and verses 2 and 3. Number 5, I'm going to pick up the speed here just a little bit, so kind of stay with me. Chapter 3, 1 John, verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. I look forward. I don't know about you this morning, but I look forward to the rapture of the church. I cannot wait for Jesus to come again. People that are outside the family of God, they're not looking forward to the rapture of the church. They don't want Jesus to come back again because they're not. They're, all their loves are in this world. Man, I've lived just long enough and seen that this world has just gone nuts enough and it's crazy enough. Man, I'm not worried about what's going on the other side of the world. I'm not worried about. I'm gonna do my part to be salt and light. But I understand this isn't the final world. This isn't the final word. This world is not enough. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We sang that this morning. What a God we serve. I look forward to the rest. Go to Titus. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus in chapter 2 and verse 13. Number 5, we look forward to the rapture. It's soon. It's going to happen soon. You know that. I'm not preaching this. This is just this little sub-point this morning. If you look at the calendar of the Word of God, no man knows the day or the hour. Well, you know we're there. 4,000 years of Old Testament history, 2,000 years of New Testament history. Add to that the 1,000-year millennial of Christ. That equals seven days of creation. The day with the Lord is 1,000 years. You know, I don't know the year. I don't know the day. I don't know the time. Nobody does. Don't listen to those charismatic preachers that put a date on it all the time. I know they're excited about Jesus coming again, but no man knows the day or the hour. But we do know the season, and I do know that Jesus is coming very soon, and it brings me great hope. Amen. Just read that. Great hope. Look at Titus 2:13. Looking for that blessed hope, there it is again, and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. There's an evidence that I'm born again. If I wasn't born again, I wouldn't be looking forward to the rapture. Man, I wouldn't be looking forward to Jesus coming to this earth. If I get to make the call, I don't. He's coming before noontime. That's my call. I want to go home. I want to see Jesus. I want to see my loved ones that have gone there before. Man, I understand we're still here. We got work to do. We got work to do. So put your work clothes on. Put on your work boots. Go get busy for God. Evidence of salvation is you look forward to the rapture. Look at chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10. This is a big misunderstood one. I am no longer a slave to sin. Get this. I do not have to give in to any temptation that comes my way. I can be, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, and God who is faithful will with that temptation also make a way to escape. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. God has provided, I don't have to knuckle under to any sin, no matter how habitual it is. That's what the scripture says. Look at verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That word commit, that verb tense is in the continual sense. Continual. In other words, whosoever is born of God does not practice a habitual sin except they can escape. God has made a way for them to escape. We sin. If you are a born again child of God, here's, you might not like this. We sin because we want to. Because we want to. We set ourselves up. We pretend we don't want to, but our flesh, the old man, he wants that cigarette, and he wants that joint. He wants that pornography. He wants that immorality. He wants that music. That's what our flesh wants. The scripture says anybody who is born again, Romans in chapter 6, we can reckon the flesh dead at any point because it was defeated. The old man was defeated on Mount Calvary. It says in verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, doth not practice, commit regularly sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Okay, I'm getting into the next one right there. So as a Christian, as a born-again Christian, an evidence of being born again is I can overcome any temptation that I have to face. Every single one of them. It's defeated in the cross of Calvary. Try it. It isn't just willpower. That's not it. It's the power of God. You surrender to him. I look forward to the rapture. I'm no longer a slave to sin. How about look at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. And he that loveth not his brother, look what John says, abideth in death. If you don't have a love for the brethren like Jesus spoke of, if you don't have a love for the brethren, you must not be born again. And I used to worry about this, man, when I first got saved, I can remember old Pastor Amundsen standing up and preaching and letting her rip and holding the corn. And man, he was a hard preacher. If you don't love the brethren, you're not a born again child of God. And I used to worry about that all the time because I really didn't think I loved my brother Bud. That was a big deal for me. I can remember being in seventh grade and hearing Pastor Amundsen preach that message. And I'm on one end of the pew and Bud's on the other. And I look over and I look at him just like that thinking, oh man, I mean, you know, the Bible says if you're born again, you're going to have a love for the brethren. Now, Bud and I used to have old-fashioned, no-holds-barred Donnybrooks at our house, landing blow after blow to the beak, to the chin, anywhere we could make contact. Some of the hardest hits I sustained in life was at the hands of my brother, and I'm proud to say vice versa as well. But if you were to go to battle against my brother, you know who'd be standing shoulder to shoulder with him? Me. You know why that is? I finally figured it out. I love him. I hope he's not watching live stream right now. If you are born again, you are going to love your brethren, your brothers and your sisters. You're going to grieve at unrighteousness. When you read things on Facebook that ought not to be the man, it hurts you. That's why I don't go to Facebook. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. There's just too much junk out there. And you see people fighting. I'm like, my goodness, fighting with telling this person about their battle with this person. I'm thinking, what in the world? Ought not to be once so named among the brethren. If you're born again, you love the brethren. If you backslid in that area, again, this isn't salvation. I'm not telling you lost your salvation. I'm telling you that's not how you're to practice as a New Testament child of God. You love the brethren. I had a lot I was going to say about that, but don't have time. Let me say this from Christ's perspective. Don't you talk evil about his bride. The church of Jesus Christ is his bride. Don't you talk evil about his bride. You're asking God to judge you. Chastise you if you're saved. That'd be a dangerous place to be. Another thing, the Holy Spirit assures me. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I have the assurance of the Word of God. I have the assurance of the Holy Spirit using the Word of God. I know I belong to God. Can I tell you something? I never doubted I was born again one time since the day I got saved. Margene must have done a good job of presenting the gospel. Not one time did I ever doubt that I was really a born again child of God. And I realize there are people that struggle with doubts. That's where you are. That's fine. I'll tell you this. Here's your pastor giving you some wise sage counsel that I got from an old man a long time ago. Feed your faith and your doubts will starve. Open your Bible and start reading it, and you won't have to believe something just because the preacher says so. You'll read in your own Bible with the Holy Spirit being your teacher, all that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Wow. The Holy Spirit will feed your faith. And all the doubts that the devil comes along with says, oh, you're really not saved. It'll just off your back like water off a duck's back. The Holy Spirit gives great assurance. Two more things real quickly. God answers prayer. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I hope you found this to be true. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. George Mueller has been alluded to several times in this pulpit. Here's a man with 60,000 recorded answers to prayer, 30,000 recorded answers to prayer the same day he prayed that prayer. How did he do that? Bible praying. When you're a child of God, When you're born again and you're a member of the family of God, listen to this. It might be novel. God wants to hear your prayers. God wants to hear what you need from your own lips. God wants to know what it is you desire from your own lips. And you know, if it's good for you, you know God's going to give it to you in a heartbeat. If it's going to direct you closer to him, God's going to give it to you in a heartbeat. If you pray according to the will of God, that's what the scripture says. Have you ever had answered prayers? My prayers get answered. I'm not bragging. I'm bragging on Jesus. My prayers get answered all the time. All the time. It might be that you are a prayerless Christian and you're not going to God about anything. Here's an evidence of salvation. Here's the biggest evidence of all. Here's the fingerprint of God on my life. Chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandments. 2 Corinthians. And chapter 5 and verse 17, there's been a change. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians, turn over there if you would real quickly, 2 Corinthians and chapter 5 and verse 17. I'm only going to look at one more verse after this so you can safely turn there. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Doesn't say anything about turning over a new leaf. Doesn't say anything about gritting your teeth and making yourself better. No reformation here. It's regeneration. A new creature. A new literal creation. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. There's been a change in my life. I'm not the Tim Raider I used to be. And it's not because of me. I'm not the Tim Raider that would fight at the drop of a hat. I'm not the Tim Raider that would fly off the handle when things didn't go his way. I've been changed. I know I'm not what I ought to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. There's some new desires in my heart. There's a new man dwelling within me. It's been quickened by God the Holy Spirit. What a God, what a Savior we have. Go back again to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Okay, just 2 points. This is it. Number one, he said, I wrote you this letter, children of God. He's writing to his brethren, all right? His little children, all right? He said, I'm writing this letter unto you, little children, little spiritual children, that your joy might be full. Because is there anything more void of joy than wondering whether you're saved or not? Being like that termite on the inside of a yo-yo, not knowing up or down, man, going every direction. Today I feel saved. Tomorrow, the next day, I don't feel saved. Tonight I feel saved. Got up in the morning, I don't feel saved. Man, that's ridiculous. That is salvation by works. I write unto you, little children, that your joy might be full. And then he says in chapter 5, same letter, and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. He said, I'm going to write unto you that your joy might be full. He writes the letter. Now he says, these things that I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, he's writing to Christians, that ye might know ye have eternal life, and that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God. It's a know-so salvation. And if you don't get that, it's a foundational truth. If you don't get that done, if you don't get that settled, if you're not grounded in that, you might serve God today and not tomorrow because something's going to go wrong. You'll stumble. You'll fail. And the devil will tell you, that wasn't real. And you just live in a fog. But God says, there's salvation in the cross. God says, I sent my only begotten Son that you might have eternal life. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is a no-so salvation. I know that I know that I know that I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. One reason, Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Raider, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Raider will bring you Good News from the Good Book.